What is grace? Grace is community. Grace is passion. Grace is for everyone.
We are starting a new series that will last through the month on forgiving what you can't forget. The book we're using is written by Lisa Terkerst and is a New York Times bestseller. You can find copies at a local bookstore or even read it for free with an Amazon Prime subscription. We also have a copy that'll be placed in the library later in the week if you'd like to borrow that. The goal in this series is to learn how to work through trauma, the things that hold us back from really experiencing the peace and fullness of life God has for us. On this All Saints Sunday, I'm especially mindful of those who have died and the unique loss that can bring. Sometimes we can't even forgive the people who are no longer with us. So we have all these thoughts in mind as we go through this series here. Perhaps the most surprising part of psychological trauma is just how similar it can be to physical trauma. Both kinds of pain can have similar impacts on our bodies. Harry is going to read for us our scripture today. The passage comes from the Gospel of John. Jesus has performed several signs to both reveal who God is and to convince people to follow the Lord. He last spoke with a Samaritan woman at a well where he essentially told her she doesn't need water from the well. All she needs is the living water of God himself. Here we have another story involving water, this time of a man who cannot walk. Let's hear it from the scriptures, though. Harry, go ahead. You're going to read for us here. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 and 14 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord.
Right. Is this on? All right, good. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these may many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus, because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God.
And from 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, make us an inclusive community passionately following Jesus Christ. Open our hearts and minds to forgive, especially when we've gone through loss and trauma. Allow us to find a better way forward with those who have hurt us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A man wants to be healed, but he cannot get to the water in time. Someone always beats him there, and so he cannot be healed. It's a terrible thing to want to be healed, but unable to get it. My body has been hurt before, but usually I heal up just fine. For me, the injuries you can't see seem much harder to heal. This past week, I had a moment where an internal injury bubbled to the surface. I've been coaching soccer for my son's team for 2 years now. Last year, our team had an undefeated season, which was really exciting. Then this year, Hal said he wanted to play again, so I'm coaching again. But I warned him. I said, it is really rare to have an undefeated season like last year. You can't expect that to happen again. What I didn't tell him was that when the coaches were drafting players onto their teams this year, I didn't pick the best player from last year's team. I knew his best friend's father was coaching another team and that he would want to be on that team, so I let him go. I picked other players, many of whom I simply did not know. Then our team got together for practice, and it turned out we had a pretty good team. In fact, a whole bunch of them played on the travel team. We played our first game and won handily. Then we won again and again. They have a mercy rule in our league where you can only get so far ahead before they tell you to stop getting goals. So our team kept hitting the limit, then letting the other team score so that they could go and get more goals. How about that? This was an excellent team, probably better than last year's undefeated team. One of the parents whose son played on the team last year and this year said at one of the games, "I don't understand how we keep being so good." And I'd like to think I know how. We have good players, yes, but just as important as who plays is where they play, right? Not to congratulate myself too much, but a coach does have an influence on their team, right? When we had last week's game, though, it turns out that the travel team I mentioned before scheduled a game at the same time as our league's game. Many of our players didn't show up. We played two players less than the other team the whole game. We had no substitutes, and every time they subbed, they replaced their entire team. They were fresher, faster, and scored a bunch of goals on us. At one point, when the other team's substitutes were lined up, waiting to go into the game, they were talking to each other, and I heard one of them say, "I just wish we could play a good team for once." And boy, did that get under my skin. I marched over to the group of players to give them a piece of my mind. Our players are excellent. It's not their fault the town scheduled two games and half the team didn't show up there. So I started to open my mouth and closed it. I realized there was nothing good that I could say, nothing that would be helpful in that moment. My hurt, my pain from that child's comment had nothing to do with him and everything to do with my injured pride. Now, I know his comment was such a small thing, but here I am still thinking about it a week later. When someone hurts our pride or wounds us emotionally, it can be tough to process that injury. If that little thing that player said lingers for me for a week, imagine how much worse it is when people have to go through the unraveling of a lifelong friendship. An ex-boyfriend who is now getting married to someone else. Sometimes it's just a hurtful situation here or a painful conversation there that just adds up to unresolved pain that we simply can't forgive. One person even shared with me some time ago about a family member who was murdered. How do you possibly forgive that? And sometimes the problem is we start by thinking our one and only goal is to forgive. And we try and force it, but it just doesn't work. We haven't even acknowledged the coping mechanisms we use that make us avoid forgiveness in the first place. Here's what Lisa Turker says in her book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, about these coping strategies we use against our pain. She says, cynicism is dressed like a security guard, making me believe that if I hoped for less, it would protect me and prevent more pain. In reality, though, it was a thief in disguise, out to steal every bit of closeness between me and those I love. Bitterness masqueraded like a high court judge, making me believe I must protect the evidence against all those who hurt me so I could state and restate my airtight case and hear guilty proclaimed over them. In reality, though, it was a punishing sentence of isolation, out to starve my soul of life-giving relationships. Resentment cloaked itself in a banner marked with the word vindication, making me believe that the only way to get free of my pain was to make sure those who caused it hurt as badly as I did. In reality, though, it was a trap in disguise with dagger teeth digging into me deeper and deeper, keeping me tortured and, even worse, unable to move forward. Finally, delay snuck in like a theater attendant offering popcorn and a comfy chair made of my sorrow and sadness, making me believe it was just fine to stay there playing old movies of what happened over and over, and that by doing so, I'd one day understand why it all happened. In reality, though, I was in a torture chamber with each replay only ratcheting up the pain, but never providing the answers I kept thinking would come. And all of this led to trust issues that wrecked Lisa's other relationships. How often, when someone hurts us, is our first inclination to do the very thing they did to us? You hurt me, then I'll hurt you back. How bizarre that the very thing we are angry with someone else for doing quickly becomes the exact weapon we choose to use against them. This is not the way forward. The only way to see the beauty in life after deep and painful loss is to forgive. But how do you do that? In John 5, we have a story that surprisingly can help point the way forward. Nowhere does the story mention forgiveness, so how can this story help us? There are many scriptures that command forgiveness. Jesus says it repeatedly, forgive 7 times 70. If you forgive others, then God will forgive you. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So it's clear we need to forgive, but we often don't. We hold on to things with our coping mechanisms. But in John 5, Jesus walks up to a man who was ill. It says the man was there for 38 years, which for many people at that time is an entire lifetime. Very few people live that long, and yet there he was at this special pool of water, hoping for his miracle of a lifetime. When Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" the man's response is not, "Yes, heal me, Lord." His response is actually an excuse. "Well, no one will help me get into the water when it bubbles up, so somebody always beats me in." We don't quite know why the water would bubble. Some said it was angels. Others think it may have been the occasional earthquake in the area. Still others say that the multiple pools had sluice gates that moved water from one area to another. I've even read that it was a scam where someone was paid to jump in the water when it moved and proclaim that they were healed. Whatever it was, Jesus doesn't bother with the pool of water. Jesus knows healing is not about special water or waiting on someone else's actions. This ill man does not need someone to carry him around or to go faster to get to the water. He just needs Jesus. That's it. A few chapters later, a similar thing happens to a man born blind. This is even more incredible because the man has been this way his whole life. The disciples think he's blind because of someone's sin, but Jesus says it's not about sin, it's to reveal God's glory. And so Jesus puts mud on his eyes, tells him to wash it off, and then the man can see. No one else needs to be involved in the healing. There are no people, no special tools, no magic involved. It's just the injured person and Jesus. So if today you are holding on to resentment, bitterness, an injury so deep you just can't let it go, Remember, you don't need anyone else to take this first step. Just forgive. It won't be all over. It won't mean you never have pain again, but it will be a step toward seeing the beauty in life again. Choose forgiveness today because it gets you back on the right road. There's still more to do. There's still a road you have to walk. But when we follow Jesus' instruction to forgive, it leads to a new path and new sight, just as it did for these men healed by Jesus. It lets you begin the process of forgiveness, one that may take weeks or months or even years to fully play out, but it will put you on the course of healing. Lisa offers this helpful strategy. She recommends writing out all the things you need to forgive on an index card. Just write it all out, one card for each thing that needs to be forgiven in a situation. And I know some of us need a lot of index cards for this. I probably need the most of all. So you got to go out to the office supply store first and then offer each one of these hurts to God. She says, as she prays out loud for each area of need, then she says this, and whatever my feelings don't yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover. Amen. It's an acknowledgement that this is a process, and we have to keep working at it, but God is with us all the while. That's good news, isn't it? Well, let's end with this. Amber Geiger was a former Dallas police officer that was found guilty of murder. She says she entered the wrong apartment and thought Botham Jean was a burglar. He was not. He was simply in his own home, sitting on the couch eating ice cream when she went to his floor, entered his apartment, pulled out her gun, and shot him. There were racial overtones as well, since Amber was white and Botham was black. At the trial, Botham's brother, Brant, was on the stand, and he shared this. He said, "I forgive you. And if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you." He said, "I love you just like anyone else. I don't even want you to go to jail. I don't wish anything bad for you. The best would be if you gave your life to Christ." He then asked the judge if he could give the defendant who had shot and murdered his brother a hug. There were tears across the courtroom as they moved across the room and embraced each other. She sobbed, and Brand offered her forgiveness once again. It seems impossible, doesn't it? But it is possible when you make the decision to forgive and embrace the process of forgiveness as well. Embrace the healing God has for you by saying yes to Jesus. You don't need anything else. You don't need the person who hurt you to change. You don't need them to apologize first. You just need Jesus. Say yes to the Lord so that forgiveness may begin. Then you'll find your healing in mind, body, and soul. Amen. Amen.
For everything happening at Grace, check out our website at gumc.org.